Have you ever sat in the examiner's chair, chin on the rest, squinting at that eye chart, and felt your stomach tighten just a little? You're not alone. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Tower, and this is ATIS, your rundown of the news that actually touches your flying. Today, we're talking about something every one of us has to face, no matter how many hours are in the logbook. The vision portion of your medical, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, the AOPA, ran a piece this week that caught my eye, and the headline claim is a bold one. That one simple change can dramatically improve your performance on the eye exam. Here's what you need to know, and here's where the headline doesn't tell the whole story. Before we get into it, today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So let's talk about the eye. The medical certificate is the gate. For most of us flying under a third class or under basic med, distant vision has to correct to 20/20 in each eye separately, near vision. That's the up-close reading. Has to correct to 20/40 first class and second class holders. The folks flying for a living, they carry additional requirements, including intermediate vision once you pass age 50. Note that word, correct. The standard does not say your naked eye has to be perfect. It says your vision, corrected with lenses if you need them, has to meet the mark. That distinction is the whole ballgame. And it's where a lot of pilots trip themselves up. Here's the simple change AOPA points to. Rest your eyes before the exam. It sounds almost too basic to matter, but think about how most of us show up to an aviation medical examiner's office. We've been staring at a screen. Maybe we drove in after a long day. Maybe we were up early, tired, a little dehydrated. Your eyes are muscles and tissue like anything else, and fatigue degrades their performance measurably. A pilot who spends the hour before the exam staring at a phone, then walks in and struggles on the chart, may not have a vision problem at all. They may have a tired eyes problem. This affects you if you've ever been surprised by a borderline result. The fix costs nothing. Get good sleep the night before. Ease off the screens in the hour beforehand. Look at distant objects. Let those focusing muscles relax. Show up hydrated. Small things. Real difference. But let me flag the bigger picture. Because I don't want anyone walking away thinking a good night's sleep is a substitute for actually correcting your vision. If you wear glasses or contacts, wear them to the exam. Bring your current prescription. If it's been a while since you saw your optometrist, go see them before you see the aviation medical examiner. Not after an up-to-date prescription is the single most reliable way to pass, because it treats the actual cause rather than the symptom. And if you use readers for the chart up close, bring those too. The near and intermediate vision checks catch a lot of experienced pilots off guard, particularly once you're past that age 50 mark and the intermediate standard kicks in. Presbyopia comes for all of us. It's not a character flaw, it's biology. Now a word on the thing pilots ask me about most. What if I don't quite meet the standard? The system has a path for that. It's called a statement of demonstrated ability, and there's also the letter of evidence route for vision. If your correctable vision doesn't reach the numbers, or you've got a condition like monocular vision, the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, has a process where you can demonstrate you can fly safely through a medical flight test with an examiner. Pilots fly with waivers every day. A borderline eye exam is very often the beginning of a paperwork conversation, not the end of your flying. Here's the part I really want to land. Don't hide it. Some pilots faced with a vision result they don't like are tempted to memorize the chart, or fudge the reading, or otherwise game the exam. That is exactly the wrong move. You're not trying to trick the examiner, you're trying to establish that you can safely see the runway, the traffic, the instruments, and the sectional. That's not a bureaucratic hoop, that's the actual job. The number on the certificate is a proxy for a simple question. Can you see what you need to see to fly safe? So treat the exam as useful information about your own body. If you're straining, that's your cue to get your eyes checked. Update your prescription and take care of the equipment nature gave you. Your passengers are counting on those eyes. So is everyone else in the pattern. Quick practical rundown before we close. Sleep well the night before, rest your eyes and stay off screens in the hour prior. Wear your current corrective lenses and bring the prescription, bring readers if you use them, stay hydrated. And if something's off, see your optometrist before you see the aviation medical examiner. If you still fall short of the standard, ask about the FAA's demonstrated ability pathway rather than giving up. None of that is complicated. All of it is within your control. That reporting comes from the AOPA's medical coverage with the standards themselves straight out of the FAA's medical certification rules. You can find more at radiohangar.com. Take care of your eyes. They're the first instrument you ever trusted, and the one you'll rely on to the very last landing. This is Tower. Keep looking outside.